Good morning. Our reading comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. The company of the prophet said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my lord," he cried out. "It was borrowed." The man of God asked, Where did it fall? When he showed them the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. A special welcome to you if you're a visitor here with us this morning. This morning we have a special preacher with us, Gore Katachang. I can't pronounce your name. We just call you Gore, if that's okay. But Gore was with us. He preached to us back in May of 2011, and some of you may remember that. I met Gore myself when I was visiting my wife's family in the Netherlands, where he was preaching at the church there. Gore is a doctor, medical doctor, and he leads a ministry in the Netherlands, which he'll tell us a little bit more about. So I'd like to have Gore come up, and then I'll just say a prayer before he preaches the word to us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your servant Gore, that you brought him here as part of your plan for us to hear your word. Lord, we pray that you'd open our ears to what you have for us this morning. May you speak through Gore. May you speak directly to our hearts, to our minds, and to move us with what you have to say to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, church. It's great to be here. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's everything is new for me. Well, it's the second time, but it's still new, and it's great to be here. Who is for the very first time here in the church, in this church, the first time? Okay. Who is for the last time here? Okay. My name is Gor Katachang, and those of you who knows most last names in Armenia, they end with Jan. So I'm Armenian. I was born in Armenia, raised in Armenia. When I was 12 years old, my parents went to the Netherlands as asylum seekers. So I am one of these asylum seekers kids. And in the Netherlands, I met Jesus, and I became a Christian when I was 13 years old. And I'm here together with Eric. Eric is a friend of mine, also an Armenian guy. Hello, Eric. Hi. And I started my ministry in a Dutch church, and I was preaching, and I was doing a lot of stuff with youth. But then suddenly, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, what about your own people? While you are here preaching, and you are saving Dutch lives, what about your own people? They still live in darkness. And Armenia is the very first country in the world where Christianity was our national faith. We have a very old tradition of Christianity. And that is one of the problems, you know. When you have a very old tradition of Christianity, it can become a religion. And that's exactly the case with most Armenians. We are Christians, we say, but we do not know Jesus. So then we started this ministry, and we called it Calling Voice. We are a voice in the desert, shouting and screaming and calling our people back to a life with Jesus. And so last year, we were traveling in the Netherlands to different cities where Armenians live. And we had this theater program, and we had dancing and songs and different ways of reaching people. And it's great. We have people getting saved and getting baptized. And so that's it's a wonderful ministry we have. The reason I tell you is that I brought some flyers with me, and they are also in Armenian, in Dutch and in Armenian written. So if you do know Armenians here in Brussels, please come after the sermon to downstairs where I have information table about our ministry and also these flyers, and take a few with you to share, to give it away. And how do you recognize Armenians? Well, 3 points. They are very good looking. They are very smart, intelligent, and at the end, they are very proud. So if you know people who met these three criteria, please come and take a flyer with you, okay? And also, everything we do is for free. We give away Bibles, we bless people, we do a lot of stuff, and it's all for free. And we need the church to support us. So everywhere where I preach, I do a call, like, please help us with your prayer, but also financially. If you can miss something, please help us. There is a very small box. Actually, it's too small to carry all your money. But there is a box on my table, and you can give us some offerings. And we are an organization controlled by the Dutch government. So every cent you give, every euro you give goes not for me, not for my salary, not for my Lamborghini, but I spent it to save some lives. Okay? Good. I don't have any Lamborghinis. Anyway. Good. Okay. Why are you here in the church? That's a good question, you know, because I've discovered that a lot of Christians, we go to the church because it's Sunday. Not because we expect the Lord to speak to us. We do it every Sunday, and it's just a part of our lives. And you know, I really believe what is written in the Bible. I really do. So every time that I go to the church, I expect the Lord to speak. I want Him to speak. I want to hear something new. I want to hear His words of encouragement. So this morning, I expect the Lord to speak to every single one of you. And I pray that you are here with your heart open and waiting and longing that the Lord will speak. English is not my first language, so sorry for the mistakes. I speak Armenian, Russian, Dutch, a little bit German. My girlfriend lives in Germany, and also English. So the good thing is that it will slow me down because I have to think. Otherwise, if I get excited about the word of the Lord, then I speak very, very fast. So the good thing for you is that it will slow me down, but sorry if you don't understand me, okay? Or I can also preach Armenian if you want. Volunteers? Someone speaking Armenian? No one? Okay. Let's try it in English. I brought something with me for you this morning, just to show it. Ta-da! Have you ever seen an immigrant with an axe from this distance? So close. Usually that's not a good sign, okay? But for this morning, it's okay. Don't be afraid. And I'm always wondering, can you imagine what will happen if a police will just stop me for a routine check and they will find an axe, the axe in my car. And they will ask, well, young man, where are you going or why do you need this thing? And then I will like, well, I'm going to the church. Yeah. Well, and in the Netherlands, well, the word immigrant, like foreigner, sounds okay here in English. But in the Netherlands, we have a word, it's much better. It's like allochtoon. Oh, I like that word. Who speaks Dutch? Oh, okay, most of you. So I can preach Dutch, okay? Allochtoon. Heerlijk woord om te zeggen. Allochtoon met een bijl gaat natuurlijk altijd fout. Maar goed. Okay, the story this morning, 2 Kings 6, was about an axe. And it's very funny because this passage in the Bible, we do not know how to explain it. Actually, we do not know why is it in the Bible. And maybe the preaching or the way I will explain it, it's not theologically right. I don't know. Maybe some theologians will say, well, you cannot explain it that way. Well, but the thing is, if we look to our lives and we compare the story, what happened, and we compare it with our lives, then there is there are a lot of similarities. Let me explain to you. You see, in our Christian lives, we have seasons. We have times in our lives that we are on fire for the Lord Jesus. There are moments in our lives that every morning you wake up with a smile on your face. And you go to the church and you are like, la, la, la. You are singing and dancing. And the traffic light is always green. And the birds are singing and the sun is shining. And the preachers are great. I mean, the best preachers in the world are in your church. And the worship team band is great and you love it. And you encourage people. You say good things to people. You have faith. You expect the Lord to work. You expect miracles in your life. You want to share the gospel to others. But there are also moments, seasons in your life, in my life, that every morning it's raining outside. And the traffic lights are always red when I approach. And the preachers, they cannot preach at all. And the coffee or tea, yeah. The cookies, mm-mm. And everyone is like, I think we all know these periods in our lives. And it's normal to go through a season. But what if this is not just a season, but this is the way how it is? What do you do about it? Do you accept it? Or is this a moment, is this morning a turning point? Because I really believe that Christians, they should be the most positive, the most enjoying, the most happy people on this planet. And I really believe that Christians, they must be on fire for the Lord. We must be excited for what we believe, for the message we believe is, I mean, it matters. It's not just a story. It makes difference. So this morning, I will show you how to find, how to recover that what is lost. For if there was a moment in your life, maybe the very first beginning when you met Jesus, maybe when you were just in love with Jesus, if you lost the first love, do not continue doing the things you do. For you are made for something much more better. And we Christians are called to be passionate about what we believe and about who we are. Am I making this noise or?
Okay.
Because in this story, we can see four points, four keys, how the man who lost his axe found it back. Because the iron head of the axe we can compare with the passion and the fire. The iron head we can compare with the power we Christians have, for we do have power. And you know, the iron head in those days, it was very expensive, for it was made by hands and it was a very useful instrument. And without the iron head, the axe is useless. The same is with us Christians. Without the power, without the passion, without the love for Jesus, for each other, we are useless. We look like just a stick. There is no power. There is no faith. And what about if that's our lives? Well, I made a beautiful PowerPoint presentation for you, but you don't have any beamer here, so maybe you can write it down. But the first thing we see in the story, as soon as the prophet, he loses his iron head, he said, oh no, Lord, stop, wait a second. It's gone. And the first thing is, admit. Write it down. Admit that you have lost the power. Why is it that important to admit? You see, most of us, most Christians, when we lose our passion, when we lose our power, when we lose our faith, the fire, We just continue doing what we do because we do not want others to know that the power is gone. We do not want other Christians, brothers and sisters, to know that we are not on fire for Jesus. And most of us, we use it as an excuse. Maybe you say, well, it's very heavy for me now to build his house because the prophets were building the house of the Lord. It's getting heavy and it's like a heavy burden on my shoulders. I cannot bear it anymore. Let someone else do it. And you quit. You quit. Or some other people, they do not want to admit, so what they do is they continue making the movements without the iron head. Who tried to cut off a tree without the iron head? Any one of you? No one. It will break you down. You cannot cut off a tree without the power. It's the same with us Christians. So do not continue making the movements. Every day. And know what? Nobody sees it. Nobody knows it. But you know in your heart that the fire, the love, it's not what it was. Stop. Admit. Do as the prophet did. He said, oh Lord, wait. Wait. Everyone stop. Time out. It's gone. It's gone. And it's a very shameful thing to do. Because maybe you are shy to admit. Maybe you say, well, everyone is looking at me. I cannot stop. I cannot say. I have to go on. No. Admit that the love you had is gone. That's the first key. That's the first step. For healing, for recovering. That's the first step to have a life on fire for Jesus. To smile, to shine for the Lord. To be excited for Jesus, for what you believe. Because, one more time, I will repeat it. Without the iron head, we are useless. We do not lose our eternal life. That's not the point. But we lose the joy of being saved. And our joy, the joy of the Lord, is our strength, the Bible says. Without the joy, without the passion, we do not have any power. Well, the second thing we see in the story, after the prophet says, oh Lord, Elijah, stop, stop, stop. My axe is gone. I do not have it anymore. The second thing is, Elijah asks, where is it? What happened? Identify. Second step is to identify. What happened? Why is it gone? I mean, the fire you had, why is it gone? Why? There are so many reasons for every single one. And there are all these kinds of different reasons to lose the fire in our life, to lose the passion, to lose the joy in our life. There are reasons enough. Maybe we are just too busy. Busy, 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 busy. Is anyone busy here? Oh, it's only in the Netherlands. Okay, you all guys, you have plenty of time and you may react. Come on. Who is busy? Good. Well, actually not good. Most of us are busy being busy. And that can be a reason to lose our passion for the Lord Jesus. Because we do not have any time to spend with Him. We don't have time to go to the church, to go to Bible study groups, to go to all the things that are happening in the church. Or some of us, we have other reasons, like sin. Maybe there is a sin in your life that you know it is a sin, but you just do not want to quit, or you can't quit. Well, that can be a reason why you lose your passion, your love for the Lord. That can be a reason why there is no fire in your life. So many reasons for every single one of us. And the interesting thing is, Elijah, he just asked the prophet, where is it? He did not condemn him. He did not say, stupid prophets, what have you done? No. The same is with our Lord in heaven. As soon as we say, Lord, it's gone, he will just ask, my beloved daughter, my beloved son, what happened? What happened? So the first step is admit. The second one is identify. Find out what happened. Why is it that you have lost the first love? And the third thing we see is something very special. You know, Elijah, the prophet shows him the place, it says Elijah, he cut off a tree or just a wooden piece from a tree, and he throws it on the Jordan River, just on water. I mean, what is so special about it? What is so special about just a wooden piece on water? Why this strange move by the prophet Elijah? Why? What is so special? Someone, you may answer. I think I don't hear that well, so. Yeah, very good, very good. The first one who, that was an act of faith, an act by faith, expecting the Lord to do the miracle. Well, actually, in the first place, we can say there is nothing special about it, but there is so much faith in it. So the third step, our third key this morning to recover, to find it back, that what is lost, is a step by faith, expecting the Lord to do something new. And it's also very interesting that the same word that is used for wood, for tree, is the same as for the cross of Jesus. For in every story, also in the Old Testament, it's about Jesus. Every time when the cross comes in the story, something is healed, something is recovered as it was. It's the same here. It's the same this morning. Every one of us, without the fire, without the passion, without the love, expect a miracle because of the cross of Jesus. Do not try to fix it yourself. We in Western Europe, we like to fix things ourselves. So most of us, after we lose the first love, after we lose our iron head, we just take off the clothes and in the Jordan, swimming, looking for that what is lost. Or am I the only one? You may react. Are you awake? Good. But this morning, I'm challenging you. Expect the Lord to do a miracle. After you did a step, a walk by faith. And the fourth point, the last one, you know, every good sermon has 3 points. Well, I have 4, so it's better than a good sermon, okay? So the last one, after the iron head comes to the surface of the water, Elijah says, reach out and take it. It's interesting. If our God can do a miracle and he can make iron float, he could also make it move in, through the sky like and come on a stick, couldn't he? He could. But why was it necessary to say to the prophet, reach out and take it? You see, the Lord, He does the miracles. He does His part, but we have to do our part. As you noticed, it's written that the axe was borrowed. My friends, everything we have, even the power, even the love, even our passion, it's not ours. We borrowed it from the Lord. It's His Spirit doing it in us. And if we lose something that we borrowed from Him, He wants to give it again. And He will give it again. For His church is called to be on fire for the Lord. For His church is made to be powerful, to be passionate about what we believe and the story we have for the world. This morning, I want to ask you, is the fire burning in your heart? Were there moments in your life that you was on the top of the mountain, that your eyes could see the promised land, that you could see the blessings in your life, the miracles in your life? And was it more than now, than this morning, than last month, maybe last year? And if the answer is yes, what do you do about it? I want to pray with you. I want to close my short sermon, but it's a very important sermon, I think, in the first place for me. I preach to myself every time. And asking myself the question, is my heart really burning for the Lord or not? And I want to close maybe in a way that you do not do every Sunday. I hope it's okay. Because if the church is getting some like common stuff, we do it every time, then there is nothing new about it. Then you get used to be a Christian. And I don't think we are called to get used to being a Christian. I don't think the disciples get used to be a Christian. I don't think so. So this morning we will do something new, maybe also something what I did last time. Because I want to pray with you. I want to call you to react. I want to invite you to react. To admit, to say yes, Lord. To admit to the Lord, not to me. Really. I don't know you, man. To admit, to say, Lord, it's gone. The first love, my passion, my love, my life, it's gone. It's just the outside. And then to identify and to think, okay, Lord, what happens? What happens? Maybe too busy. Maybe this sin, I really have to quit. And then after identifying, to do a step by faith and expect the Lord to give you fire. And at the end, to reach out and take it. So let us close our eyes and just pray. Father in the heaven, Heavenly Father, we come to You. Lord, we come to You and we want to look You in Your eyes. And You want to look me in my eyes. Lord, is my fire burning for You? Is my passion for You, for Your word, the same as it was? Or maybe even more? or is it gone? It is somewhere in the Jordan River. Lord, I do not want to continue this way. I want to stop, time out. And I don't care what people think about me. I just say, Lord, I stop, time out, and I admit. Lord, recover it. Give it again. For I want to be on fire for you. For I want your fire to burn in my heart every single day. Lord, I pray that you will work with your Holy Spirit as we pray. And that you will go through every chair and to touch every heart. Just show it what is inside our hearts. Show it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are working with your Spirit. And I'm looking forward that you will restore, that you will recover, that you will heal every heart and give us fresh fire, new oil, new anointing. For we are your people and we are called to be a powerful church. Church on fire, passionate about our Lord Jesus. And I want to invite you, as everyone is praying, to react. The first step is to admit. If this message this morning was for you, and if you know deep inside that you have to admit, you have to say, stop, stop, stop. Show me by raising your hand. Just show me if the fire is gone. Just show me if the passion is gone. I see a lot of hands. You're not doing it for your neighbors. You're not doing it for me. But this is the first step to recover it. Thank you, Lord, for every single hand. I can see your hand. Lord sees your hand. Thank you, Lord, for these people. Great. Great.
Great. Amen. As we think about what we've heard, let's stand.